Hour number two with yours truly, Jack Hillgrove, right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Follow me on Twitter at JackWTOV9. At WTOV9, my TV station, I have a podcast called Jacked Up. The latest episode just dropped a couple of minutes ago on the WTOV9 YouTube channel with yours truly and 93.7 The Fan Zone, Donnie Football, breaking down the Steelers' loss in Indianapolis. If you want to check that out, just search for WTOV9 on YouTube and you'll see me and you'll see Donnie. Another person who's been on that podcast now joins us right now on the fan hotline. It's Nick Faribault of PennLive.com joining the program. He covers the Pittsburgh Steelers. Nick, as always, thanks for taking some time out of your evening to talk some ball. First thing I'll ask you, Davante Adams coming to the Steelers potentially. I mean, Davante Adams requests a trade reportedly. It seems like the asking price is a second round pick and maybe some other assets, but a $44 million cap hit next year than the year after. Is that feasible right now for the Steelers? Or do you think that's something the Steelers might be interested in, bringing a guy like that to Pittsburgh?
I think they'd be interested in it. And because the reason I think that is because they inquired about him this summer when they were inquiring about every single receiver under the sun and proceeded to acquire none of them. But, you know, he was part of that. And here's the thing, you know, about the cap hits in future years. Like, he's going to be cut if that contract is not reworked after this year. He's a great player still, but no one is taking on that large a cap hit for a wide receiver entering his age 32, 33 season. So basically what we're going to have here with the trade, almost certainly, Jack, is you are going to trade for Davante Adams and then rework his contract. So that is almost certainly what will happen. I think any team that will acquire him want to do that so they can keep him beyond this year. Otherwise, he's an 8-game, 9-game rental, right? And so, you know, you talk about the perceived value that that Las Vegas has of him, which is a second plus some, which probably more means a third round pick, more likely, if you want to use translation for that. Then you're going to want to have that guy, you know, be there for more than just 8 games. You're not trading, you know, a third round, second round pick for 8 games of Davante Adams, unless, you know, you're a team that really, really thinks you're a Super Bowl contender right away. I don't think the Steelers are in that stratosphere yet to do that. So it does make sense for them if they could rework that contract. They could fit it under this year. They could certainly rework that contract, lower the cap hit, spread it out, and do some different things with that. And he's the type of player they need, man. We've been talking about the wide receiver two problem they've had all offseason, and he would be a great addition to their room. He is exactly what they need across from George Pickens.
Yeah, and a lot of people, I think, thought that maybe the problem would get worked out as the games start to get played. You know, we assessed it in training camp, like who's going to be the wide receiver too. They don't really have one through 4 games. I think that's pretty black and white. I'll ask you a couple of probability questions as it pertains to him. The first one, there was a trade thrown out there. I forget but I saw it on X. A pick and Najee Harris for Davante Adams. Is that even likely that maybe Najee Harris would be involved in a trade like that?
I mean, you can't rule it out. It does make sense from a few perspectives, and one being it is a need for the Raiders. They do need a running back. From that perspective, it makes sense. From the other perspective of, the Steelers still really need him because Cordarrelle Patterson, Jaylen Warren are not healthy. No, it doesn't. But he hasn't played that well this year so far. He's not really a great fit for Arthur Smith's scheme, so it makes sense to some respects. But I have a hard time feeling like the Steelers would detract from any group on the offense that has any group of weaponry on it. I really do. I don't think they trade Najee Harris just because of that. You know, they and not only that, they do want to bring him back after this year. I think that's in earnest. Now, I don't know if they're going to be able to. I would predict him to walk, but I think they are very honest and open when they say they want him back. I think that is true. So I think he's a player they like, but if he, you know, they need to push him over the finish line, like say, you know, they're with the Jets and the Commanders and all these other teams and they need something to distinguish themselves, maybe that's what it is. But I'm not even sure how much value Najee Harris has in that trade scenario, just because, again, final year of the contract, right? It's just, it's when you are diminished value, especially for a team like the Raiders, it hurts kind of your overall trade value. So we'll see. I can't rule it out, but it wouldn't be what I expect the trade to be. I would expect the trade to just be like picks straight up.
Nick Faribault, Steelers writer for PennLive.com. He's on the fan hotline right now, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. So the other question I'll flat out ask you, Nick, you know, if you had to maybe grade it on a scale of 1 to 10, Davante Adams to Pittsburgh, how likely do you think it is?
Probably like a 3. And the only reason I think that is, it's not because the Steelers aren't willing to do it. I just look at other teams in the picture. Like, come on, the Jets are just screaming here,
yes.
Right? Like, they really are. I know, you know, like, Ayuk was a similar thing where the Steelers kind of had the chess pieces fall almost perfectly for Ayuk. And then, obviously, the 49ers were able to work that out. But in this case, man, they're going to have competition. Like, think about it. You look at teams that are going to want him, the Jets, the Commanders. I know they're in the division, but I know the Chiefs are going to try and pry him out of their hands. There's other teams outside of that. You know, the Ravens are probably going to put in a call about him. There are just going to be teams that want him, probably the Lions even. Like, these are all going to be teams that are probably going to be willing to pay up. And the Steelers, in that Ayuk scenario, kind of had it fall into their lap that they were the last team standing because Ayuk wanted to go there. Right, it wasn't necessarily because they were offering the most for Ayuk. They didn't offer more than the Browns or the Patriots. And so if they're willing to pay up the cost, maybe. I'm not so sure they will be, though. And so I think, you know, the Jets are also probably, if I were to guess right now, who Davante Adams told, you know, the GM of the Raiders, Tom Telesco, where he wants to go, I mean, I think the Jets would easily be A1 on his list, right? So I think 3, just because I'm not sure the Steelers are going to be able to beat out the competition for him. Now, I do think they'll end up landing a receiver at the deadline. I'm not sure it's going to be Davante Adams.
Yeah, that's where I was going to go with my next question for you. There are a couple of names maybe you have in mind as the trade deadline approaches. I believe it's November 5th at 4 p.m.
Yeah, I think it might be somewhere around there.
Yeah.
But it's definitely the first week of November. And the Steelers, looking at teams that are losing right now, I think there are some interesting candidates. If you look at the Panthers, I do think Adam Thielen is a name to know. Now, he's out with the hamstring injury, but the Panthers are going to be like the one true team just all across their team. They're just going to be in sale mode, right? They're going to sell, you know, they're going to sell probably everybody. Deontay Johnson, Matt Thielen, Andy Dalton, even like
boy, Deontay Johnson coming back would be something.
Yeah, well, they apparently, you know, the rule is this week, there was a rule that Ian Rappaport reported this week that apparently you can't acquire a guy that you traded away for basically 2 years. So, like, Hassan Reddick can't go from the Jets to the Eagles. And so the Steelers could not trade for Deontay Johnson.
Okay.
That actually can't happen. But Thielen makes sense. I think DeAndre Hopkins is a really interesting name to throw around. You know, Titans are not very good. And he's an intriguing name to think about. I think he'd fit them perfectly. If the Jaguars keep sliding down, Christian Kirk could be a name that is a little bit of a sleeper. The Giants aren't very good right now. Darius Slayton makes some sense. He's a vet in the final year of his deal. The Broncos are somehow 2-2, but Cortland Sutton is still going to be a name I'm going to throw out there. I mean, you could even – the Dolphins right now are not very good. And I don't think they'd trade him because they just signed him to a contract. But Tyreek Hill's contract is very tradable if that did come up. So there are definitely options that are going to be out there for the Steelers. Some of these guys are going to be out on the trade block if they can't get Davante Adams. So, you know, even the Raiders, if the Raiders decide that they want to just go on a full fire sale, I mean, Jacoby Myers, the other wide receiver that they have, is a very solid wide receiver that the Steelers could even inquire about. So there's a lot of options for them.
He's Nick Faribault of PennLive.com covering the Steelers. Does a great job. All right, typically, like Mike Tomlin says, he likes to focus on the players in the room. So let's focus on those said players in the room. And we'll start at running back. Running the ball as a running back, obviously very difficult for the Steelers last week. Najee Harris struggled. Cordell Patterson looked to be making some headway. He gets hurt. Jaylen Warren's health is in question. Where do you see maybe a Jaylen Warren return this week? How likely that is? Maybe Cordarrelle Patterson's injury status as well. Where do the Steelers stand right now in the backfield?
Well, I think the Jaylen Warren stuff is, how can he be healthy 100%? You know, his hamstring wasn't fully healthy when he got hurt. The knee is a separate issue, but the hamstring wasn't fully healed. I don't think the knee issue is, like, super concerning. I don't think it's something, you know, that is going to keep him out a significant amount of time. In fact, I think he probably could have played last week if it was a playoff game. It's just going to be, you know, do they want to keep him on the sidelines so he gets the burst back, his explosiveness? I think we would all agree when you watched him in through the first 3 weeks, like, he just didn't look the same, right? He didn't have the explosiveness. He didn't have the suddenness in his movements. So I'm not completely certain that he'll play this week. I think he might need another week off to fully get healthy. Patterson is kind of an interesting case. You know, seems to be okay. We'll see. Again, I don't think that's something like super concerning. Might be like a 1 or 2 weeker, but they'll see how he responds. But I think that the Steelers, from what I think is going to happen, are definitely going to bring up at least one, not, or maybe two running backs from the practice squad this week. It could be both Shamplin and Ward. Jonathan Ward's probably the likeliest guy to come up this week just because of his burst and his speed. And he kind of replicates what Cordarrelle Patterson can do and what Jaylen Warren can do more than Shamplin can do. Because last week they brought up Shamplin because they needed some of the special teams help. They needed some of the extra utility help that he brought to the table. Ward can do a little bit more of true running back sense. So I definitely could see Jonathan Ward coming up either way if one of those guys is out. So something to keep an eye on. I don't think you're going to see both of them out there. Would not surprise me if one of the two plays. I think they were going to be conservative with both of them, though, just because it's early in the year. And you know, both of them are going to be really key for the Steelers down the stretch.
The offensive line, obviously injury ridden like crazy to start the season. Nate Herbig and then Troy Faltanu and now James Daniels with an unfortunate Achilles injury. They add Max Sharping off of the Commanders practice squad to the 53-man roster. Where should Steelers fans' concern be right now with the health and the overall quality of players available on the offensive line?
I think you have to be concerned. Now, listen, they have a lot of depth relative to most teams on the offensive line, so it's not a complete disaster where you're pressing the red alert button. But they've lost a lot of talent. Nate Herbig, you know, their top interior swing piece. Troy Faltanu, promising rookie that was playing really well. James Daniels, their best offensive lineman through 4 weeks. I mean, that is significant to lose. Now, I'm excited to see Mason McCormick. I am. I think he had some promising things to build off of against Indianapolis. I think he's a fun player. I think he's a really athletic people mover. The consistency is a little wild, but he's a fourth-round rookie, so not really that surprised at seeing that. But I think he has a guy – he's a guy that, like, the arrow is pointing significantly up for throughout the year, the more he plays. Frazier's played very well. Siamalo is going to be back this week. That's what is going to be a huge boost. You know, I know losing James Daniels is going to be a huge loss, but just as much as he is a huge loss, Isaac Siamalo is going to be just a massive boost to them on the left side. You know, even though Dan Moore has been pretty decent, honestly, at some points this year, he and Siamalo on the left side are going to be able to clear some lanes in the run game. And then they need more consistency out of Broderick Jones. That's something that can be fixed. Like, Broderick Jones needs to be more consistent. We have seen his play. He has reps where he's awesome, and then he has reps where he, you know, he loses his mind, and it's just like, what are you doing? So, yeah, I mean, it's not a bad situation just yet. It's tough, though. One more injury. Like, they are one injury away from being like, okay, this is like a huge, huge issue. Right now, they could probably skate by and get by. If they keep these same five in there for the rest of the year, McCormick will get better. Jones, theoretically, will get better. Frazier will get better. They should be okay. But if someone else gets hurt on this line, I mean, they're in for a real world of hurt at that point, because they've lost a lot of players, man. Like, even their depth tackle, Dylan Cook, is on injured reserve right now with that foot injury. And so they've lost a lot of guys. Their luck on the O-line has not been favorable.
Yeah, and as they turn their attention to Dallas this week. I mean, you know, every matchup in the week or in the NFL is tough, when especially when you might have some guys hurt on the offensive line. But Dallas is hurting as well, and this offensive line could see potentially a Dallas defense that doesn't include DeMarcus Lawrence and Micah Parsons. What do you make of what Dallas brings to the table so far? I guess we'll start as far as the Cowboys defense matching up with the Steelers offense.
It's interesting because the Cowboys defense definitely has attackable areas for the Steelers offense. And you talk about that front, right? DeMarcus Lawrence, Micah Parsons out. But, you know, you can even talk about how Deron Bland is out. He's on IR right now with that foot injury, and he hasn't played this year. It doesn't really sound like he's going to be back. Now, they'll have a rookie, Caitlin Carson, out of Wake Forest that's probably going to be back this week. He missed last week with an injury. But it's not a particularly fast defense. It's not a particularly dangerous defensive line without Parsons and Lawrence. Now, they have some ball hawks in the secondary. You know, Trayvon Diggs is obviously very dangerous. He's a ball hawk. They have veteran presence in the middle there with Eric Kendricks. But, like, the team's speed on this defense is not great. So you should be able to exploit some of that. George Pickens should be able to kind of do some things. I'm not sure they really have anyone that can truly contain what Justin Fields brings to the table on the ground. It's a pretty good matchup for the Steelers. Like, this is not a good defense, personnel-wise or what they put out on tape. This team should be able to be ran on. That's a big thing. They should be able to run the ball and not just run the ball for 40 times or, you know, 120 yards where they just kind of nail it to the hammer and just kind of force it. Like, they should be able to really run the ball with efficiency in this game. And so – That's something that I think you want to see. You want to see the offensive line be able to move guys. Because, again, the interior of this Cowboys defensive line is not very good anyways. You know, even before the injuries, they weren't very good. So, yeah, I think that's going to be something that they can definitely take care of.
Talking Steelers with Penn Live beat reporter Nick Farabaugh. On the flip side, Nick, Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb on the Cowboys offense. I know Mike Tomlin was very complimentary of Prescott in Tomlin's presser earlier today. But, you know, from a Steelers perspective, I think the secondary has played pretty darn well. So how do you think the Steelers secondary, i.e. Dante Jackson, Joey Porter Jr., matches up with Brandon Cooks and CeeDee Lamb and obviously Dak Prescott trying to get those guys the ball?
Yeah, like, I do think theoretically the Steelers match up fine against this offense. For one, Dallas is one-dimensional. They do not run the ball very well at all. They don't really have an answer at running back. This is the week they elevate Dalvin Cook and he finds, you know, the fountain of youth or something. But that's not something they've done yet. Zeke Elliott hasn't really looked good. Rico Dowdle and Deuce Vaughn have been, like, fine. But they're nothing, you know, they're nothing kind of to be scared by, at least. Now, the Steelers, if they get beat in this game, are going to get beat by two men. And it's going to be Dak and it's going to be CeeDee Lamb. It's like CeeDee Lamb kind of always gets his. There's, like, crazy stats. Like, I think he has like so many games with 4+ receptions and so many games with, like, more than 60 receiving yards. So this is a guy that kind of gets his, and they'll probably get a play or two against the Steelers just because, you know, they're uber talented. Like, CeeDee Lamb's a top 3 receiver in this league. You could do so much to try and take him away, and he still makes plays. And Dak Prescott's a very, very good quarterback, but it's not an offensive line that should be able to dominate the Steelers' defensive line. I think when you saw what they struggled with against the Colts, like, the Colts have probably the most underrated offensive line in football. I don't feel like a lot of people look at Indianapolis and think great O-line. And then you look at the names and you look at how they performed. Like, you look at a guy like Will Fries on that line, you're like, who is Will Fries? He's been one of the best guards in football all year. You know, Bernard Raymond, he's been really good. You don't really see that on that Cowboys line, right? They lost Tyron Smith. Tyler Guyton's a rookie and hasn't been very good so far. Like, they've been struggling over there in Dallas. And so this defensive line should be able to get to Dak. The secondary is good enough, I think, to neutralize Brandon Cooks. It's not really an innovative offense like Shane Steichen's is. You know, Steichen uses motion and uses RPO game and uses all these other things in the modern scheme that can kind of destroy the Steelers' scheme at times. Mike McCarthy kind of just plays static football. You don't really see much motion. You don't really see a ton of manipulation. It's kind of straight up my guys versus your guys. And, like, the Steelers, I think, just have better guys on that defensive side of the football. Now, outside of, you know, the Lamb and Dak, you do have Jake Ferguson and Brandon Cooks, who are solid players. I think Jalen Tolbert has had some nice flashes as well. But the Steelers should be able to theoretically control this game on both sides of the football. They match up well against Dallas. So this should be a game they win.
Last question I have for you, it has to do with the quarterbacks. Kind of the same rhetoric, same speak from Tomlin this week. You know, we'll ramp Russ up, we'll see where we are, and let the participation dictate their decision. But it sounds like the Steelers fans should prepare for another week of Justin Fields. When does it get to the point, Nick, where, you know, Justin Fields becomes the hot hand and becomes the guy until, you know, God forbid he gets hurt or the wheels fall off the wagon and you go to a guy like Russell Wilson? Like, what else does Justin Fields have to show?
I'm not sure he has to show anything else. I think we might be at that point. I just think, you know, it's about being diplomatic. It's about doing the right things with a veteran who everyone respects. Russ commands respect, and you don't want to kind of just throw the guy by the wayside, you know, like you could. And Mike Tomlin's been through stuff like this before. Mike Tomlin knows how to handle those things. These are, you know, quarterback switches, decisions don't just affect one position, right? Like, it's one thing to switch right guards. It's one thing to switch starting corners. It's one thing to switch a starting linebacker. It's a completely different thing to switch starting quarterbacks. And, like, I just think he's being very cautious with it. We saw some of the mess that can happen when you switch quarterbacks last year and everything that can kind of happen there. So I think he's just walking on eggshells. And so if he keeps playing well, if he keeps doing what he's been doing, Justin Fields is probably going to be the starter. Like, you can't take Justin Fields out right now. I mean, it's really not that complicated. Like, everyone has watched what Justin Fields has done on the football field, and even you probably have some reservations about what you've seen, but you've also had some exciting moments. He's played probably way better than anyone thought he would play. And so you just can't take him out. It really is that simple. So I think as long as Justin keeps playing well and doesn't just have an absolutely dreadful game against Dallas, I think we're going to be there. I don't think Russ is going to be fully healthy until, you know, Vegas week. But I also certainly think that we are on track to Justin Fields getting that starting job either way. And it will take Justin, you know, a bad game or two before he kind of gets benched down by Mike Tomlin.
Nick Faribault, he covers the Steelers for PennLive.com. You can check him out there. Follow him on Twitter as well. Nick, you're the man. Thanks for taking some time, and I'll see you on Sunday, brother.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Jack, as always. Appreciate it.
There he goes, Nick Faribault of PennLive.com. One of the best in the biz for being as young as we are in this business. So kudos to Nick, and thanks for coming on. All right, coming up, we'll react to some of the stuff that he said. I have a couple of points that he made that I would like to talk about, especially when it comes to what Dallas brings to the table. We'll also talk more about the quarterbacks and whatever the hell you guys want to talk about. The phone lines are open at 412-928-9370. I'm Jack Hillgrove. It's the Fan Evening Show on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.